The reading today is Colossians 3, 1 through 17. You can find this in the Pew Bibles on page 984. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these too you once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
G'day guys, my name's Tom. I'm really glad to see you all here with us tonight. I'd like to add my welcome to Pete and to Lizzie's. It's really great that you're able to join us here. I'm glad that it's warm. I can wear a t-shirt inside the building. That's pretty cool compared to my experiences outside at the moment. I spend my time looking after the student ministry here at Euston Church, and we've entered kind of a really exciting moment in the term. Kev, our vicar, said to me, Tom, you have 3 weeks and you can talk about whatever you want with that 3 weeks, whatever you think might be helpful for the student ministry at this time. And anyone who has spent more than 5 seconds with me talking about ministry wouldn't be surprised that I wanted to talk about community. I wanted to talk about what it means for us to be in community with one another, and with one another here at church in particular. Today it means we're starting a 3-week series where we're thinking about what it means for us to do this thing called church together, what it looks like, why it's important. And I think at this point in the year it's going to be a really valuable exercise for us. And so today we're starting with living in community. Paul, in our passage today from Colossians, before this, he's just finished explaining to this church that they do not need to commit themselves to being saved by the different works that they might do, being saved by doing stuff. You see, the Colossian church had a problem. Some false teachers had been convincing them that in response to Christ, they needed to live out the law in order to fulfill his grace. In our passage, Paul's now leading out of that and presenting us with a reality of our salvation and some of the implications of that. How about before I jump into that, I start by praying for us. Please bow your heads with me. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray now that as we consider the truth of what we see here, that it would change our hearts, that it would be your word that works in us by your spirit, forming us into the likeness of your son. I pray, Lord, that you would use your word today to tighten our community in support and love and care of one another. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, a lot of you have made a bunch of transitions during this time. You've gone through a bit of a transformation, haven't you? A lot of you here have come particularly from warmer climates than you're currently experiencing. That is something that I can connect to on a really deep level. About 18 months ago, me and my wife Danny moved here from Australia and experienced English winters for the first time properly. It's one of the main prayer points that we're getting from our first year groups in midweek at the moment. How are you going? I hate the weather. Now, in response to that, when you go through a transformation, you've had to kind of edit your habits and edit your behavior a bit, right? So for those of us who have come from tropical climates, we're no longer kicking around in our t-shirts and in our shorts, in our summer dresses. We're having to adapt our behavior to the new reality that we're in. In many ways, we're having to change sometimes the way that we speak, different slang words that we use. This has been particularly relevant for me. In Australia, the slang word for flip-flops is thongs. That is an adjustment that I have had to make all the time here so that people don't look at me weird when I talk about my flip-flops. We make changes, don't we? When transformations in our lives happen, we make changes that are relevant and connected to those changes, right? And it just makes sense for us to do those things. Well, as we learned a few weeks ago at Student Surge, something fundamental changed when Jesus rose from the dead. That the Christian has this connection to the fate of Christ that has a profound impact on the way that we understand reality, how we understand who we are. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You are not the same as you were before. You are different now. You are no longer on the path to darkness, but your fate has been tied, it has been intertwined with that of Christ. You have been transformed. When he died, your old self died. When he rose, your new self rose to life too. If you have died to the world, then the world no longer has power over you, and the priorities of the world are no longer your priorities. You no longer look to the world for your future. Instead, set your minds on things that are above, to Jesus on his throne, and when he returns in his glory, you too will arise in the glory of the Son as those who have turned to faith in him. Can you see how fundamentally different our orientation is in the world now when we are bonded to Christ? Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The ways you used to walk in, they are not your ways now. Our way is the way of Jesus. And so when we turn to him, we turn away from them. But how many of these continue to be part of our lives? For each of us, these aren't things that sit on the periphery. Some of these, I'm sure, feel quite central still in our lives. Lust and anger come to mind very fast. How present are they still in your life? Lies. We are different now, and we must turn from earthly things, from the earthly treatment of one another as we live together in community. Now, the things on this list, I think sometimes we find them quite easy to set aside because they're quite obvious sins, right? I think for us, it can sometimes be more subtle. Earthly behavior, earthly desires, earthly concepts of success. Well, we must put them to death because they are not the truth. And what are those things for you? What are the ways of the world? What is earthly that you hold on to? What is it that you elevate in your life? Success? Relationships? Physical superiority? Study? Popularity in your halls? What drives your life? What truly influences your behavior? And is it earthly? Things that on their own aren't necessarily something we would condemn, but they take such a central position in your life that they take your mind away from that of Christ and instead set our eyes on these earthly things that start to consume us. You are not the same as you were before. Verse 11, here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, the response goes further than just an individual transformation that occurs. This is a really cool verse. It's a verse that's captured when I look around this room in many ways. Because in a world that defines us by the differences between us, in the world that we establish ourselves, whether we establish ourselves ethnically or through class or maybe how well we do at uni or what job we want and what we're pursuing, but instead finding our identity in the transformed kingdom, well, it no longer becomes about what's different between us, but what unites us. For in Christ there is nothing that divides us, but Christ is in all and is all. When I first went to church, I was 15 years old. A very brave friend of mine had invited me along to youth group. I say he was very brave because I was a fairly classic Australian 15-year-old guy. I played a lot of rugby. Basically what it means is I was really insecure, and so I like made up for that by being like a hyper alpha male. And so my friend was really brave and invited me to church one week, brought me along. And something that stood out to me immediately was how different it was to every other part of my life. Because there were people there who, like, I would never see talking to each other at school. People from different backgrounds, people from different levels of athletic ability, which is a big thing in Australia, people from with different interests, people with different levels of confidence, were all together as one body of people. And this had a massive impact on me. Had a massive impact on the way that I viewed the world. But as I looked at this community, I thought, what is it about these guys? What is it that connects them? And once I found out that it was Christ, well, it was all that I wanted to know about. When people see a community of believers, they should see the boundaries of our society cast aside as Christ's people bond together, no longer divided by any element that the world may want to categorize us in. Now, there are people in our community at Euston at the moment that just don't know each other, right? We've grown at quite a fast speed, and that means that a lot of new people. And did you know that actually in our service often, it's pretty normal now that people who have started in September outnumber people who started before that, which is quite a weird experience, I think, for the people who have been around for a while. No one expects you to meet everyone. I'm trying to. I like to think that I'm pretty good with names, and it's kind of just melting my brain. No one expects you to know everyone all the time. But we should be seeking to get to know one another. We should be seeking to meet new people at this service and make them feel at home. We should be seeking to hold out the hand of love of Christ to them each week. And because of the nature of our service now, it actually means that if you've been at Euston for about 4 weeks or so, you're just part of the furniture here now, right? You're one of the more experienced members of our congregation. You are one of us. And so be with us in this task of reaching out to people, of making them feel at home. As we continue to break through these barriers, as people join us, we want them to see us as one body who then immediately reach out to them to join and be a part of us too. To make people feel at home amongst a group of people who have been transformed by the resurrection of Jesus. There are new people to welcome every week. So how do we do that? Well, we stay for dinner, right? We stay for the seminars. We engage with one another during the two-minute break that we have. We learn from each other. We love one another. We reach out the hand to a new person. We think, man, that person's not talking to anyone. No, they are now. They're talking to me. Right? And if they're super introverted, then we're just really sorry. They were just taking a break for a moment. We are different from the world. There are no barriers between us here. We are united by our faith in Christ. Christ is all and he is in all. One body of believers. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds together everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. You see, here at 5 p.m., it's not a big group of I. 5 p.m. is a we. We set our eyes on things above. We put to death what is earthly. We succeed together. We fail together. We walk alongside each other. Christians aren't meant to live in isolation. Christianity is a team sport. Right? You can play football at home in your garden, but it's not really the same thing as when you play with others. You can be a Christian and not go to church, but also it's just not really what you're meant to do. We are part of something bigger. The community of believers that have been meeting since the first century, the church. And this means a community who live with the love of Christ for one another, worshiping as one to bring glory to the Father in heaven. It means treating one another with kindness, with patience, putting the needs of others above our own and living with the perspective of the kingdom for one another. It means forgiveness of one another too. In a community this big, I would expect there always to be a few little tensions between different people. But when we live with a kingdom perspective, when we live with transformed hearts and minds that put to death earthly things and become those who are alive in Christ, so we forgive as we have been forgiven. We also repent. We say sorry to one another and we forgive because we are bonded together by our love for Christ and by our love for one another. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What we do during church, we're actually told to do it in the Bible, right? Praying, the reading of public, reading scripture in public, singing, teaching, seeking for the word of Christ to dwell richly in us, to respond to this word in our lives, in our prayer, and in our praise of him. When you see all of this tied together, can you see how important church is? How central to living out faith, being among God's people and community is? It's not part of a life of faith. It is the life of faith. You see, the church community is where our discipleship springs up. It's where it takes shape. We actually have a way that we think about this in the student team here at Euston Church. We think about our holistic discipleship as a community of believers, and what we do is we seek to live out our lives here. And so I'm quickly just going to refer to something that we call the five M's. It's because you're going to hear these, you hear these words around town a bit now at 5 p.m. and I just want it to make a little bit of sense to you. Basically, that we think about discipleship in these ways. Mission, reaching people with the gospel and then coming to know Jesus. We think about magnification, worshiping God, both at church and in our lives through things like Bible reading, prayer, music, encouraging and equipping one another in this. We think about membership, being part of the church family here. And that's from being welcomed at church to newcomer staff to different socials to being part of a midweek group to thinking about how do we interact as a family. We think about maturity, growing to maturity in Christ, learning, growing. That's sermons, that's midweeks, that's the slots in the service, it's the seminars that happen. How do we think about growing in community together, seeking to live like Christ? I'll talk about that more next week. And finally, ministry. Using our gifts to serve the church, getting involved here at Euston, not just because it's helpful to have people involved, because that's part of your personal discipleship. You see, you'll hear these words around a fair bit at 5 p.m. because this is how we organize our teams under these five M's. So if you know them, that will be helpful. And the reason why we do this is because when you're asked to be part of something here in Euston Student Ministry, we're not asking you to do something random. We're not asking you to fill a gap. We're asking you to be involved because we care about your discipleship. We care about how we as a community are growing in our faith. And I think all five of these areas are always relevant to all of us here in this service. I'm always growing in mission. I'm always growing in magnification, membership, maturity, and ministry. What this is, it's just a really great way of thinking about all the different parts of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. One body, living as his people. I don't know about you, but I have a bunch of jobs at home that I tend to put to the side or not think about too often. One of those was kind of brought into the front of my head again today. Danny, my wife, she replaced the vacuum bag inside our Henry Hoover. And that's just one of those jobs that you're like, I never think about that as a thing that I'll ever need to do in my life ever, right? Especially with a Henry, because those guys just keep going until they die. But it is this kind of weird job that you put to the side. You're kind of like, oh, I'll have time for that one day and I'll do it. Or sometimes our jobs are kind of like, oh, I have time now, so I'm going to absolutely pump this job out, right? A bunch of you are being newer to the city, and so I bet a bunch of you are doing meal prepping at the moment, right? You set aside a bit of time and you're like, I'm just going to hammer this out. I'm going to bake 50 different meals, and then they all end up just being the same chicken meal, right? Put them in the freezer, that job's done, and I don't think about it. Well, I wonder if church ends up sometimes finding itself occupying that little position in your head. The thing that I'll have time for, I'll get around to when I don't have this thing on, I don't have this study, I don't have this society to go to, I'll have time. It becomes the vacuum bag, right, of jobs. It'll be there every week. Oh, I can push through this week, it's going to be fine. Henry's going to keep going for another week. He sounds like he's joking, but we'll just keep going. Maybe church just becomes a bit of a side quest on the side of the main thing that you're trying to do. Something that you do on the side when it suits. I wonder if you think that's enough for Jesus. If you think that that's enough for you to be part of a community of believers tied together by the transformation we've undergone in Christ. Something I've realized in my life, especially when I moved away and joined the army and was the only Christian there. It is hard to be in community when you're not there. It's hard to care for others in absence. I think we all learned that over the past year, right? Because our attendance, it's not actually just about us. In one sense, for us, it's incredibly important for ourselves, right, to be present in community. We have so much to gain from it in regards to aligning our faith, our encouragement, our sustenance, all things that we'll chat about more next week. But also being present, it's actually an act of love towards the other people who are in your community. Because you're there to meet them. You're there to love them. You're there to support them, to be an encouragement to one another, because church is a we. It is not an I. Guys, we need to break out of this pandemic consumerism where church was something that we could switch on and off on a laptop, something that we could fit around other things. gathering with God's people in worship of him for the purpose of bringing him glory and being in community with one another, that doesn't fit around you. You fit around it. It's not a side quest. It's the main game. It's not one amongst many other communities that we have. Paul tells us it is where the center of community is found. So I think there's a few important questions that we need to ask ourselves. Are we going to be a loose gathering of random people who all happen to be here to hear the same sermon every week? What a coincidence. Or will we be a community of God's people worshiping him because we are bound together by the transforming reality of our faith in Jesus? Will we be people who are there for each other, who sees every other person here as a brother and as a sister of part of the same priority, making the forming of relationship a priority? As simple as being there at dinner and approaching someone who's on their own or someone who you don't know. Asking people how they are in a way that actually means something. Because you want to know. Because you care. Are we going to be flaky members of the community because really all else, the only thing we really want is the earthly success? Will our desire to be one of Jesus' people, part of an eternal community, override everything else that the world tells us is important? I know that this can sound, and so I want you to know that at Euston, we actually really, really care about how well you do at uni. I met up with someone in the past fortnight, and actually I spoke to them about rearranging their priorities because I was worried about their study. I really care about your study. I think it really, really matters. How you do matters to me. It's one of the things that I pray for you guys when I go through the list of people who are here. We're going to be having a seminar in term two on exams because we want to help. And if you are struggling with your uni work, reach out to us. I will help you plan your study. That is a real offer. Because church doesn't compete with study. You have enough time for both. The problem is procrastination, right? It's dead time. It's other things that you've chosen to do that you think might be mildly more fun. And church should never be cast aside for convenience or because you've been procrastinating. When you don't think that you have time for church, I want you to spend a bit of time thinking about how you use your time. Because you do have enough of it. But if you waste all your time procrastinating and then you start to feel under pressure, it's not Jesus that should have to be set aside and suffer for that. Don't sacrifice church. Don't sacrifice the community of believers on the altar of your procrastination. Because you don't need to. In this community, we need each other. Because we are one body of believers, and so we need to be here to worship, to glorify God, to love and support one another as we go through struggles, to stand by one another as we struggle with our studies and provide support and guidance. You will find that having this community of believers will provide you with genuine care and more help for your welfare and growth, and will improve more than anything else that you do while you're here at university. Because we'll only ever turn you back to Jesus, show you that he's the way, and show you the community that is here because our realities have been transformed by what he did for us on the cross and when he rose again. We're so pleased to have you here at Euston. We have a phenomenal opportunity to come together as God's people, to worship him, to live in mutual encouragement and support as we pursue to live more like Jesus. Let this be a priority for us. Let's live in community. Please bow your heads, I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you so much for giving us a body of people to be a part of. We pray, Lord, that we would be a community that loves one another, that seeks you and ultimately lives as if we have been transformed, knowing the reality of that transformation. We thank you so much that Jesus would die for us, and even more so that he rose again, showing us the glory that we too will rise to. It's in his name I pray. Amen.